So hurry up.
Ronnie led her up the narrow stairs, half hoping the clones would be out and George would let them in. Instead, Borges opened the door. His eyes widened.
You promised! I thought we could trust you!
Then he recognized the sacks for what they were.
She found me, I swear it! And she bought the food. You'd better let us in.
If Borges had had any other thought, Rafa made sure he didn't act on it. She pushed her way through the door, with her nose on Ronnie's back. George, still tied up, looked around and his eyes lighted.
Rafa!
She ignored him for the moment, but gave both clones a long look that brought a flush to their cheeks.
Well, gentlemen, Ronnie tells me you aren't Daryl, either one of you. I presume you have names. May I know them?
I'm Andres and he's Borges.
I thought you might like something fresh to eat.
Rafa began unpacking the food. When Borges reached for a pastry, she stopped him with a glance.
Untie George.
Good for you, Rafa.
Shut up, George. I expect you are being odious again. It's not the time.
George got up when Borges had freed him and came to the table stiffly, rubbing his wrists.
Are you going to let us eat?
Yes, in the faint hope that hunger is what's been dimming your collective wits.
Whatever protests they might have made were lost in the descent on the food. Rafa nibbled a few of the purple berries while she watched the food disappear. When the rate of disappearance had slowed, she tapped the table with the knife Borges had used on the sausage. They looked up with the guilty expressions of little boys who had hogged the birthday cake.
Sorry, Rafa. We were just so hungry.
I'm not complaining about that. But it's time to start thinking again. All right. Ronnie told me that the Institute was quite willing to help you acquire new identities, but the former king has been badgering them, and they think he may be having the Institute watched.
And these two, and now you, know about us.
We're no threat, sir. Andres, or Borges, whichever you are, Ronnie and I have nothing more in mind than living in peace as far from our families as we can get.
Ronnie sat up straight. He hadn't realized that she had made up her mind on that subject.
Even George, I'm sure, has better things to do than make your lives miserable.
Many better things.
Shut up, George. So we can help you get to the Institute. And once inside, you know the king can't bother you. He has no authority here.
But what about the...
Rafa shot a glance at Ronnie that hit him like a brick in the teeth.
Once we've helped these gentlemen, then we can discuss the matters you and I still have to discuss.
It sounds to me as if you'd settle them all.
Within the limits possible, yes. Now, about getting you safely to the Institute, what sort of hours did they mention, Ronnie?
They said any time, and I thought in the dark...
would be the obvious time to pick. Here, have another pastry. May I suggest lunchtime? The king wanders around in both morning and afternoon and goes out in the evenings. But at lunch, he's sitting in the hotel eating. Besides, few fugitives choose midday to move around, and we should do this as soon as possible. Tomorrow, for instance. If the king has people looking for two copies of Gerald, give them something else. A group of young people, none of them exactly like Gerald. Surely you two can do simple disguises.
Borges looked at Andres.
Of course. It might work.
It will. Tomorrow, late morning, I'll come here alone. Be ready.
Rafa got up to leave and then laid a sheaf of the local currency on the table.
And here, be sure to eat a good supper.
Late the next morning, Rafa found four alert young men eyeing each other with some suspicion, but no open hostility. Two of them looked like brothers, but not clones. Something had changed in their hair color, the bones of their faces, their way of moving. She didn't stop to analyze it.
Come on, the king's back in the hotel. I waited to leave until he'd gone into the dining room. Ronnie, George, put your stuff in these pack sacks.
Andres eyed her cherry-colored tunic and the sheaf of bright flowers she carried along with a basket of pastries.
Shouldn't we be less... conspicuous?
We can't really be inconspicuous. What we can be is conspicuously something other than what they expect. Students, whatever, Anything but two scared clones. If you'll just chatter along like normal people or eat.
They trooped downstairs as casually as if they were going to a party. Ronnie munched a cheese pastry, and the clones looked a bit dazed.
I don't see why you didn't bring a private car.
Now that would have been conspicuous. How often do hire cars come to this neighborhood? Come on, just through the market.
The market bustled with the lunchtime crowd, all more interested in food and drink than a girl with a bunch of flowers and her four companions. At the transit stop, a loose clump of people waited, most of them eating. Rafa began to relax.
Raffaella Forrester Sayens!
Rafa jumped as if she'd been poked with a pin, then tried to pretend nothing had happened. All four young men had gone rigid. The clones looked as if they might faint.
Raffaella!
Through the noise of her heart beating, Rafa could now tell that it was an old lady's quavery disapproval, certainly not the king. She turned around and found herself face to face with Otala's aunt.
Yes?
She smiled as casually as she could while impaled on that indignant gaze. Otala's aunt was draped in shades of mauve, with a knitted purple cap adorned with droopy knitted flowers in pink and beige. Rafa had to struggle not to burst out laughing.
Don't pretend you don't know me. You were at school with my niece Otala. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Your parents will hear about this.
About what?
Running off to carouse in foreign parts with a young man, and not just one of them.
Otala's aunt shook a ring-covered finger under Rafa's nose.
Everyone knows your family doesn't want you to marry Ronald Carruthers, and here you are!
Venezia's head shot forward like a turtle's from its shell as she peered at the back of four young male heads.
You needn't hide, young man. I saw you across the market, laughing and chatting as if you had nothing better to do. And who are the others, if you please?
Oh.
Ronnie turned around. The others still pretended not to hear. None of your business was what Rafa wanted to say to the question, but practicality as well as manners prevented her. Old ladies like this didn't quit bothering you just because you were rude. They had dealt with more rudeness already than the average youth could think up. Rafa tried to think if anything would help and glanced past Otala's aunt to the person behind her. He was pushing a barrow, and on the barrow were pottery pieces of incredible ugliness. Half-melted, graceless shapes and colors that made her stomach turn. Recognition and counterattack came together.
Those pots.
Otala's aunt turned one of the colors on them, an ugly puce.
You wouldn't understand. They aren't just pots, they're...
I understood that you yourself were quite an artist in pottery. You gave some to Otala. She had them at school. I noticed when I was in the market the other day how much the local wares resembled them. Perhaps...
Great artists derive inspiration from many sources.
And lesser artists plagiarize. Sometimes those who aren't artists simply...
All right. I couldn't make enough pots on my own. My family kept asking for more and more and more. Finally, I got someone to make a few for me. And then a few more.
But why such ugly ones?
Otala's aunt shook her head as if she hadn't heard right, and then smiled sadly.
I kept hoping they'd quit asking. It seems the uglier the product, the more they want.
Why didn't you just tell them you were tired of making pots?
Oh, my dear, you aren't old enough to understand. Someday, when you're grown and you're enjoying things, your relatives will start complaining. You'll never finish anything you start, they'll say. Doesn't matter what it is. I expect that Ronald's aunt, Cecilia de Marctos, heard the same thing about her horses.
That's true.
You see? I think my family wanted to make sure I stuck to pottery. And that's why they kept asking for more. And to be honest, my dear, I did want to quit. They were right.
Still, about these pots and Ronnie...
Oh, all right. I won't tell on you if you don't tell on me. But I still think young girls have no business running around in foreign lands with four young men. One was quite enough for me in my young days.
The tram came in, and Rafa moved to board it with the others.
And don't think I don't recognize young George Mahoney there with his ears the color of ripe plums.
The rest of the trip to the Institute passed.